welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 224. Well, it was when we started.
I'd almost forgotten what day it was.
I've long since given up knowing what day it was. I have, however, managed to get it working on YouTube. Yay! Anyway, before we get going, most important thing of the day. Happy birthday, Jonathan! Have you had a good day? Let us know. I now have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. Look at that, Mike, bouncing away. Does say two viewers are waiting, which is rather scary. Because I've not told anybody and I've not gone live yet. This is my backup plan. Oh, what a mess. One day you'll have to see behind the scenes here of what all that was about. If you are getting jerky sound, can we all look on the glass is half full, that at least you can hear me? Oh no, maybe it's that. Okay, let's disband that and see. Is that any better? Paul's got good sound.
It sounds
excellent.
Perfect here.
Excellent. Oh, that's all good news. Now I need to go all the way back. Look at all this chat I've missed now. So, Mike was first. I think that's cheating a bit. Yes, it was Pete. It was Pete talking about his adventures with the air ambulance. I do have the number somewhere. It is in the feed. I will find the episode for Pete's show. And I will put that somewhere. Probably have it tomorrow, Anthony, let you know. Right.
I thought you meant the number for the ambulance, because right now I need one.
Do you know, if I have one more crisis with tech today, I am not in the mood. Can you tell? Not happy with tech today. Not happy. Anyway, Jonathan's here. Kim's here. Whey! Anthony's here. Fabulous. Who else have we got? I saw Deb. Spank it, Kim. Oh, you have no idea. Oh, I'm thinking of buying equipment to spank the other equipment with. It's that bad. But we are here. And in the meanwhile, I have sorted out a plan B, should it be actually necessary. But this is a plan C, because I already had a plan B, didn't I, Mike? That didn't work either, did it? If you mention the word radio to Mike, expect an explosion. It's confused with the time difference. Do you know, we tried so hard with the time difference. And yet it still escaped. I don't think it is a time difference. What they're doing is an emergency update, which is like, you know, fine. Not when I'm going live. Not then. But they are doing an emergency update. The last time they did an emergency update, do you all remember what happened? They broke the metadata again, which we just got fixed. So it's quite feasible tomorrow. The metadata will be off again. But you will notice we have the Plan B player up tonight. And I'm not even seeing a live banner, Mike. Naughty, naughty. You know that will confuse people. Put the live banner up. Right, let me catch up. I'm live. Excellent. Yes, Jonathan's got emojis. Have they got makeup on, Jonathan? This is what I need to know. Oh, horrible and wet in Sydney. I thought it was coming to your summer. Because the weather here is absolutely hideous. You all got wet, didn't you? Yesterday and today. And of course, it's really dark here now. Clocks went back last night. Everything did go back, I think. I've just got to check the digital recorder and the camera. But what was comical was all of the echoes went back, all of the iPads went back, all of the computers went back. And then I glanced at the clock on the wall. Yes, despite all of that, I have a clock on the wall. And that hadn't. But it was radio controlled. So I looked at it and I took the approach of that graphic that was doing the rounds that I think I shared with you. Yeah, that's a hammer. So leave it alone. So I left it alone. And when it got to 3 o'clock, it went mad. It whizzed all the way round and then back again. And it's now right. So, yep, spot on right. Studio clock is correct. I will find something that's not right, but it'll probably be in about 3 weeks and I'll wonder what on earth is wrong with it. How is it going on with you guys? Was there anything that didn't move forward, like the microwave? Oh, the microwave never worked here. I was thankful when Mum decided it was a fire hazard and she would unplug it every night. That was after she tried setting the clock and set the timer going, and instead the microwave turned on with nothing in it. Don't do that. It doesn't end well. Oh, fun and games, hey? Fun and games. It's been relaxing. Do you remember relaxing, Mike?
No.
Late 80s, I think it was.
I remember relaxing before I got involved with tech.
Home workout? Yeah, could do that.
Mind you, before I was involved in tech, I watched United, and that was in the 80s.
And that was stressful. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but to be honest, you know, United never done that good, so it was quite normal. When they started winning things and then started losing, that was when it got painful.
Yeah.
So, relaxing. Home workout, reading, spoken to the family, went for a walk, nice and chilled. Ah, sounds like a good day, Jonathan. If only ours were being the same. An emergency update for the emergency update. It sounds like it, Paul. Honestly. We tested all this because we were aware there was an update issue before. That's why we're on the old player. Because the new player was having a slim error. When we finally got tracked down what the slim error was, the slim error is there when they're doing an emergency update. So I said, well, dump the player and we'll try the other one, make sure it works. And that was fine. Until it wasn't. There you go. Oh, you enjoyed an extra half hour sleep, but your body clock woke you up. Oh, no. Neil understands about United in the 80s. It was a bit hit and miss in the 80s.
Neil was probably going in the 80s.
I was going in the 80s until I went to uni. Anthony hopes we'll get loads of snow this winter. Best time to have it, not being able to go anywhere. Do you know, actually, that would be a really good idea.
I'm snowed in, I'll have to work from home.
I remember trying that with you when we had about an inch and a half. But, you know, it did look bad, didn't it, in the photos?
Yeah.
Especially when I'd finished with them. Yeah. When I'd finished with them, you couldn't open the gate. No, it would, because the idiots that would want to go out wouldn't go out, would they? So that would help immensely. So I hope it's the snowiest Christmas ever. There you go. I am liking that idea. Anthony, for PM, what do you reckon? Couldn't possibly do worse than the idiots we've already got. I haven't even dared venture to the news.
There you go, if you
news.
Want to see snow.
Is that on your blog?
It's on my blog.
And that one was untouched. I did not touch that one. Put the link in. Put the link in. That would be a fabulous, fabulous idea. Right, let me have a look. I shouldn't do this, not live, not without warning. But I'm going to, with one eye open, have a look at the... Oh, we've got... Oh, no, that's nothing to do with COVID. Good grief. There's news other than COVID. Wow. What now? A bishop calls for a Christmas Day truce. What for? A circuit break. To be put in place on Christmas Day amid warnings of a digital Christmas. He's compared the idea to a Christmas Day truce during World War I. He said he hoped there could be some kind of family Christmas. Oh, talk about trying to get your 2 minutes of fame. Let's leave him alone. Have we got anything exciting? Doesn't look like it. Doesn't look like it. So does that mean we've got no silly politicians saying anything? Amazing. Amazing. Doesn't look like it. I did think, though, I was going to crowdsource some information today. And that information is, last night, on By Request, they always have a giggle at me because I've not seen many films. Although I had seen the Cat from Outer Space, hadn't I?
Yeah.
And Kath hadn't. Oh, the Cat from Outer Space is a fabulous film. Let me know if you've seen it. Late 70s it was. Harry Morgan was in it from MASH. And another guy, was it Barry? And Sandra somebody. But the cat stole the show. The cat stole every scene. The cat was fabulous. So I had seen that one and Kath hadn't. What films would you recommend? What do you think I should watch? Because I've pretty much not seen much. Even like classics. Although I have seen Titanic. It sank. That was about the what have I seen apart from Titanic in the last 20 years?
Probably nothing.
Probably nothing. When was Three Kings? Because I saw that. Went to the cinema. Oh, and Goldeneye. Saw that. Took my mum to
1999.
What was?
Three Kings.
Oh, in that case, it wasn't even this millennia, was it? Oh, dear. Oh, our very own Simon was in that, you know. Yeah, George Clooney. What else have I seen? That's probably it since then. Do you know I've never seen E.T. either? What would you be shocked that I had never seen? Because trust me, I've not seen much. I've never seen West Side Story either. Last night, Kath couldn't believe it, but I haven't seen... not Mary Poppins, although I've not seen that either. The other one, Sound of Music. Not seen that. Apparently, it's very good. It goes in the category, for me, as far as I'm concerned, of Jason and the Argonauts, which, to my knowledge, is not a musical. Although it could be, because I've never seen it. But my dad did. He saw it probably before I was born. It's like skeletons scrapping. And every bank holiday, every Christmas, every Easter, Jason and the Argonauts was on. And he'd be like, not again. And the other one was... now, that was a film I've seen and I enjoyed it. As far as you enjoy disaster films. Oh, what was that? The Poseidon Adventure. I just loved that. I loved the story to it. And I loved Towering Inferno. But then Richard Chamberlain was in that. He's not hard on the eye, is he? So I saw those two. I think I even saw Beyond the Poseidon Adventure, which was basically the Poseidon Adventure Part 2. But again, it was one of those films. They put it on every single bank holiday.
Joe is enjoying his birthday special, thanks, Elaine and Mike.
Good. That's on the other radio station, which luckily did not need as much triage as this one did tonight. So, but I love those. But, you know, there's a limit to the number of times you can watch The Poseidon Adventure. What movies do I like? I must admit, I have seen quite a few Christmas films. I do like those. I have not yet seen It's a Wonderful Life, believe it or not. But I was bequeathed the DVD of it back from my mother, which I think was a colourised version. So there we go. There's the are you making a note of these, Mike?
No.
Make a list.
I'm trying to submit a bug report.
Another one. Pandemic or Contagion. Which of those?
Right, what am I making a list
of? It's all right, I'm doing it while you're doing something else. Carry on doing what you're doing. Right. Which one of those movies, if either of them, had... Kate Winslet in, because I distinctly, at the beginning of this COVID thing, I sat down and I watched it, but I can't remember what it was called, but Kate Winslet was in it. So if Kate Winslet was in it, I've seen it. If she wasn't, then I haven't. But I've seen one of them. I've not seen both. Let's have a look. Contagion. I'm trusting you guys have all seen these, that it's only me, as ever, behind. Right, who was in it? Contagion 2011. Is that Kate Winslet? That looks like Kate Winslet. Gwyneth Paltrow. Oh, yes. I remember she was Patient One, wasn't she? It had a heck of a cast in it, including Jude Law. Your dad worked with Jude Law.
He did.
Actually, to be precise, Jude Law worked with your dad because your dad was way more famous at the time. Jude Law was 17 and he got cast alongside Mike's dad. Yes, I've seen Contagion. Yay! But only recently. Now, Pandemic. Let me have a look at Pandemic. I don't think I've seen that. Pandemic. Oh, 2016. No, I've not seen that one. Who's in it? Who are these people? Oh, Alfie Allen. I know him. His dad did Vindaloo. Who on earth are all these other people? No. Robert Louis Stevenson. Oh, no, it's Louis Stevenson. So nothing to do without that. No, I don't know any of those people. So I'll put that down as one. Pandemic. There we go. I wonder if these are on Amazon Prime. If I frighten myself to death, you guys are totally responsible, you know. Titanic was not the movie for me. The one thing I enjoyed about Titanic was the set was amazing. I'd done this game, an adventure game, and the graphics weren't obviously as good as like a film. But I didn't bother looking for things in this adventure game. I was just awestruck wandering around the ship. It was amazing. And when I watched the movie, it was like, wow, you know, if you turn right there, that's the gym. And the next minute she turns right and there's the gym. And it was because I'd done this game. So I found the set amazing. The storyline was a bit on the totally thin side, wasn't it? I think the biggest news was it sank. But I liked it from the perspective of just wandering around the ship. Loved that. Jennifer Earle, wasn't she in... Oh, Sense and Sensibility? Brand Prejudice? What one or other of those? With them, what's his face? The one all the ladies like. What on earth? Colin Firth, him. Wasn't she opposite him in Pride and Prejudice? Paul's not seen either of those. That's all right. You wrote to her for several years until you came out here. Wow. The only film Jonathan remembers seeing is Poseidon Adventure. Seeing the original with my grandparents when you were 10. There you go.
That was sounds like your father.
That was a good movie. It was. It was just, you know, they overdo it. They just put it on over and over and over again. There are films I have seen. Let me head off up here. I think I've got all of those right in there. No, there are some films that I have seen. Let me think. Scrooge. Christmas Carol. But it has to be the Alistair Sim version. There is no other version like the Alistair Sim version. But that is absolutely one of my all-time favourites. It's just an amazing film. In fact, you ask Mike, I know the entire script. You key me in with a line and I'll give you the film from there. I've seen it that many times. In fact, there was a quiz. Do you remember that Pointless episode? It was a Christmas Pointless episode. Don't know if you get Pointless in the States. Let me know. And the questions, you could pick. I think there was, it was in the double one, you know, at the end where there's two teams and they have to pick one. And the questions were five questions from Christmas Carol, Scrooge. And they were really tough. They were really tough. And I straight away got all five. And I said to Mike, I'd go for the one. There's a bit in it where the Ghost of Christmas Future, I think, opens his cloak and there's two children, you know, clearly absolutely destitute, curled up at his feet. And he says, beware these two particularly. And then he names them. And that was one of the questions. What were the two children? And it was ignorance and want. And Mike's like, how did you know that? It's in the script, Mike, and I know the script word for word. So I would highly recommend that one. Ooh, Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson. Now, I think that's the kind of thing I like. There was one that I saw, and it was basically a conspiracy theory, but what on earth was the movie called?
Isn't that relevant to today?
What, Conspiracy Theory?
No, Ignorance and Want.
Ignorance and Want?
Yeah.
In terms of what?
Child Poverty.
Oh, God, don't let's start that again. We've only just finished with childhood obesity and now we're talking about the fact that the little children are starving to death. I'm clearly not keeping up with the plot here. The government are going to have to back down on that. It's just a matter of time. So why make yourself look a complete backside and vote against it? Because I guarantee you within 2 to 3 weeks, Marcus Rashford will win this and then you'll look an even bigger than you do right now. Just hey, saying.
I bet Beckham's miffed.
Oh, yeah, because Marcus Rashford is so going to get a knighthood. If you've not followed this for years, David Beckham has wanted a knighthood since he started playing. Now, it's either him that wants a knighthood for him.
It's Lady Victoria.
Or Lady Victoria wants to be Lady Victoria, one way or the other. Anyway, he has done a lot for charity and so is she. And he has got like an OBE or an MBE or something. And so is she. But he sent an email to somebody and the language was poor. And the gist of it was, what more do I have to do to get a knighthood? And it got leaked. He's not had so much as a sniff of a knighthood since. Marcus Rashford, however, on the other hand, I guarantee you, when this goes through, which it will, within a couple of weeks, he'll probably have a knighthood by the time he's finished playing, if not before. So poor Beckham. Oh, dear. You think it's Lady Victoria. She wears the trousers. Oh, she does. Do you remember that time he got caught playing away? And the next minute there was a photo op. And she was riding like, what do they call those things? The ones that Rick Mayall was driving when he fell off.
Oh, quad bikes.
A quad bike. She's on a quad bike and he is behind her like you would ride on a motorbike, with his arms round her, like clinging on. Oh, talk about the optics. It was unbelievable. But yes, I pretty much see it's Victoria behind it all. Although whenever you see Victoria, she looks very poorly. She's very, very skinny. We met her, Old Trafford, the day she met David Beckham. Yeah, she met us as well. Just saying. Big mistake there, going off with Beckham. And she always looks like that. She does look miserable and ill all the time. And yet, you know, I don't think she is. I think she's just too scared of being photographed smiling. I don't think she actually likes herself smiling, despite the fact she had all her teeth done. There was nothing technically wrong with her teeth, medically, if you know what I mean, dentistry wise. I would say if you can find a photo of her from about 96, her teeth kind of tilted backwards a bit. There's probably a technical term for this, Kim, which you will apprise us of. Let's see if there's... If I put Victoria Adams, will I get some old pictures? No, I don't mean with 1D. Her name was with 2Ds, like the Adams family. No, the trouble is...
It wasn't with 2Ds, was it?
It was when she bastardised it. Yes, oh. It was. None of these photos of her early days, can you see her teeth? This is the problem. The ones afterwards where you can see her teeth, the teeth no longer tilt backwards. She's had them all done, but I wish you could see how they were originally. But there was actually technically nothing wrong with them. I'm sure a brace could have fixed it. Is that one? Good grief, that's a tiny photo. Possibly, but it's too small to do any good. There'll be one out there, but they tilted backwards a bit. Anyway, she had the whole lot redone. Ooh, Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing. Not seen that one either. And yet, I have actually gone to plays of Shakespeare. Just never actually seen anything on there. A truly awful film, Titanic 2. How can you have part 2 of the Titanic when it sank at the end of part 1? Give me a quick rundown on what happened, Jonathan. Did it sink twice? I'm going to have to look at this conspiracy theory one and find the one that I've seen about 2 or 3 times that is really good. I don't think it was the conspiracy theory one, but let me have a look. Oh, good grief. I'm looking for the movie. Is this 1997 one? Let me have a look. Oh, I know a movie I really enjoyed. No, I don't think I've seen this conspiracy theory one, only because I wouldn't remember Mel Gibson. But I would have remembered Julia Roberts. And I'm looking down here. No, I've not seen that one. Right, I'm putting that one on the list. Let's add that one to the list. And then you can track my progress. So let's put this one in. What I've seen and what I've not seen. And trust me, you've got a lot of scope here because there's a lot I've not seen. But that makes me think, what was the film I did see that was conspiracy theory related? I think... was it Samuel L. Jackson? He could have been in it. Let me have a look. What was he in that was kind of like that? Let's have a look. He might not even have been him, just saying. Apparently that's a film. I'm looking for a person. What are they doing? There we go. Names. It wasn't Pulp Fiction. Not seeing that. Let's have a look. Oh, and I've never seen Star Wars either, any of them. I've no idea how many there've been, but I've never seen any of them. Nor have I seen, what's the other one people mention? Star Trek. Not seen an episode nor a movie either. But I'm trying to go, I definitely saw something with Samuel L. Jackson. I have seen, brace yourselves, The Shawshank Redemption. But only because I studied it in a postgrad English literature course, which was quite surprising to me as well. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it. I thought, put it on and just grin and bear it. But actually, it was really, really good. I loved it. I'm looking through Samuel L. Jackson's films and I'm not recognising one of them. Sorry, Sammy boy. No, none of them. What was this film that I saw? Mind you, we're not down to the 2000s yet. So let me keep going. Oh, he's done loads of films and I don't recognise hardly any of them. Apologies to you. Maybe it wasn't him. Maybe it was the other guy. Who was the guy who was in St. Elsewhere? Really good looking guy. No, I'm not not seeing that. Rules of engagement. No, 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 see, I'm now down to 1999 now. Oh, yes, he was in A Time to Kill, and I've seen that. So was Kiefer Sutherland and Daddy Sutherland. No, it clearly wasn't him. You saw the original movie after getting braces on your teeth. Was that your reward? Oh, Simon's arrived. Good grief. It's all right, Simon. We weren't here at seven either. Long story. Long, long, long story. Don't ask. Complicated. Class 2, Division 2. No, not seen that one either. Let me get that one. Ooh, Dentistry. Oh, right, so it's not a film, that one. I'll have a look. Let me have a look, and then I'll tell you if that's what her teeth look like. My friend had exactly the same look, just kind of tilted backwards a bit. But I'm sure that can be fixed with a brace. Let's have a look. Yes, a bit like that, but nowhere near as bad, if you're with me. They were all neatly lined up and looked fine. I would say the nearest to it was photo A, but possibly tilted a little bit further back. But nothing like as bad as D, and they were all lined up. Colour was fine. Everything was fine, but she just didn't like them. And I remember thinking, I'm not sure I would have my teeth tinkered with to that degree to correct something that was probably not that much of a problem to anybody else but you. Because anything you have done with them, you then have to maintain, don't you? And you could get problems down the line with it. But she had the whole thing redone, the whole thing. I mean, does she look better? It looks about the same to me. I really thought her teeth suited her face. Is that considered a defect with photo A? Would you do something with that? But surely an external brace that just tipped them forward fractionally? I have got a friend who's got teeth like D, but not bothered about them at all. Functional, used to it. Strange, isn't it? Oh, your mum is a class 2 div 2. You know it well. I wouldn't think that was a defect, but that could just be me. There was a guy who did a video on YouTube the other day, and I was fascinated. The lighting was shocking. You know how teeth can look brilliant if you've got like a bit of a tinge of a blue light? This light has obviously been turned to orange, and it didn't do his teeth any favours at all. And when he moved to a different bit and the light changed, his teeth looked like he changed them between scenes, honestly. You have to be so careful with the light on teeth. I got told by my dentist never to look at them in the bathroom because the bathroom's got dark tiles. And he's quite right. It takes on like a tint of whatever is around you. So the next time the bathroom's done, oh, I'm just going for brilliant white all over the place. Oh. Firefly. Should only watch Star Wars and Star Trek. I think a lot of people write a lot of story behind it, don't they? They add automatically, like, oh, well, there was this and there was this. And I heard tell some, I think it was a podcast episode. And it was a tech podcast, but it was basically dedicated to Star Trek, this particular episode. And it was that it was way ahead of its time in terms of equality, Star Trek. And I thought, that's nice. And I actually got invited on a podcast. Now, this was eons ago, probably 2008, something like that. And they were doing, I think it was a 12-hour marathon. So they were bringing on guests from other podcasts. So I got invited onto this episode. And basically, they'd allocated people randomly, which should technically on a tech podcast work out well. But I'd got allocated with somebody who didn't actually have a podcast. He'd been invited on because he was prepared to talk about his father. And his father was Gene Roddenberry, who wrote or produced or whatever Star Trek. So this episode became like, well, we'll have this as a Star Trek special. And I thought, what have you got me for? I've never seen an episode. So I thought, just keep your mouth shut. Just say yes and no in the right places and it'll be fine. And then somebody said, like, which is your favourite episode, Elaine? And I thought, darn it. I mean, there's no way you can lie. So I said, well, you'll be quite shocked to hear. I've never seen an episode of Star Trek. Well, to say Gene Roddenberry's son was stunned was an understatement. Didn't speak to me for the rest of the show. You have to accommodate that. That could have been deliberate. It wasn't, but it could have been. You know, and if that was me, if I was him, I'd be like, oh, well, maybe you could start with X or Y episode. It's a good one. But no, he took his ball back. So I was blackballed after that. Oh, never mind. Blade Runner. Now, is Blade Runner the one with Harrison Ford? Have I got the right person? Was it set in the future, and did it involve like weirdness, like a weird sci-fi thing? If it did, I think I may.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, was he in some kind of weirdy suit?
I've no idea.
I've got a sneaking suspicion. I saw 20 minutes and thought, I've not got a clue what's going on here. And I think I left it alone. Stargate.
There you go. Nope, that's a bit of a preview.
Yes, it looks weird, doesn't it? I think I made 20 minutes of that. Do you know the one I did? This will shock you. This will totally shock you. A movie I got to the end of and enjoyed, which I didn't think I would at all. I'm not a huge fan of the main star. I mean, he's all right, but whatever. Tom Cruise. But I do think they had a great... would you say she was the lead female star? Possibly, maybe secondary to him. Samantha Morton. Samantha Morton's amazing, an amazing actress. So I suspended my disbelief as he started at the beginning of Minority Report, and I'm thinking, this is a bit weird. And I actually watched the entire film and totally understood it. But there was quite a few others that I didn't, and you'll probably find them all. Is Firefly the one that started, and it was by a guy, did he do Dollhouse or Doll's House? And it was supposed to be the most amazing series, but it did only get one series. And wasn't the guy in it the one from... I could be getting confused here. But did the guy play Danny in Grey's Anatomy? One of the stars? Because it was something to do with it was a bad time or other. Was it the strike? When they went on strike and they weren't scripting. The scripters went on strike. Could it have been that? I did watch a couple of episodes of, what was it called? The Doll's House one. I found it a bit weird. I think that got pulled as well. In the future, you will have USB teeth you can make glow any colour. That'll work. I've heard of Stargate, again, never seen it. Atlantis, heard of that, never seen it. Flying cars and replicants. Do you know the stuff I've seen that would blow your mind? It, probably stuff Mum watched. She watched one called Now and Again, I think, or Now and Then. Something like that. Only got one series. Eric Close was in it. It was a little bit sci-fi-y in terms of her husband had died and they brought him back to life in this guy's body. And it wasn't a bad swap because her husband was the one who played... the husband to Roseanne. And obviously swapping him out for Eric Close, that's not a bad swap, is it? But there was only one season of it. I think Heather, is it Mastriani or something like that? She went on to be in The Princess Diaries. She was in it. She played the daughter. She was really young and she was fantastic in it. Mum loved that one. So obviously I got to see it because she loved it. You wish you had access to a wormhole. Yeah, I have access to a wormhole every time I try and go live on the radio. Yeah, it just disappears off into a black hole and that's the end of that. Didn't see The Fifth Element. But Minority Report, see, I got that one right. Good grief. Oh, it wasn't Danny. Oh, darn it. Who was it? Danny Duquette, wasn't he, in Grey's? I know he went on to be in a series, didn't he? That's the one, Nathan Fillion. Yeah, Mum watched Castle. She loved Castle. I knew I'd seen that guy. He's supposed to be a really, really nice guy. I can't remember where I read that, but it's basically like, you know, an article where it's like these stars that you think are fantastic are awful, but these stars are amazing, and he was in the amazing category. Firefly was really a lot like a Western. Oh, wow. No, I don't see many Westerns either. My granddad loved Westerns. So Western films were on when I was a kid, but I didn't. To me, they were all one and the same. He loved them, though, and he loved books as well. Samantha Morton was in The Walking Dead. Now, wasn't... Have I got the right one here? Wasn't Nathan Fillion... No. Danny, the one who played Danny, whose name escapes me, wasn't he in it? Is it The Waking Dead or The Walking Dead? One or the other. It's a series. And isn't he... Because everybody seems to die in it, apart from the main character, which I think is the one who played Danny, but don't quote me. And I did see a couple of episodes of a series after Castle. I think it was called Rookie. And he played like a rookie cop in it, but he was a lot older than all of the other rookies. And that had some great humour in it. I love that one. She played a sociopathic female called Alpha. She's an amazing actress. She is fantastic. The first thing I saw her in, and it was just totally stunning. The acting was amazing. And the fact that I think for this particular scene, the scene that you would remember, I think she was stark naked. And given the fact she was about 16, 17, it takes great courage to be able to do that and to act at the same time. Amazing. It could have been a bodysuit, but you weren't actually looking at that. She was covered with like hieroglyphics. And it was an episode of Cracker, the original series of Cracker. She was stunning in it. And it's amazing that I remember her in that because she was so amazing. And the next minute that she's at Hollywood, and I'm not surprised. She was brilliant in that. Did Rookie finish, Kim? Because I think there was only one series over here. Good night, Jonathan. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
I've gone to Facebook because I need to post the link to the news. And Kath's posted some photos of being out with Joe.
Yeah.
And somebody says, sounds lovely. I've worked out Brooklyn's 196 is a Catanian radio station, but what's the birthday special exactly?
Oh, bless.
Kath says, it's an hour of music specially selected from some of Joe's favourites. You can tune in by Googling Brooklyn's 196 and pressing play.
Yeah, technically you can do that on Magpies, but sometimes it's a little trickier than that, isn't it? It was Cracker, Neil. It was a particular... They used to do like three shows, didn't they? As one like series. I'm trying to remember the guy who was in it, because I'm sure he went on. The guy, he just creeps me out, this guy. I'm sure he went on to Downton. Very tall guy, dark hair. Could he have been the butler? Probably not. Oh, he was! Whoa, first time! Jim Carter. He was in this episode with her and he was just so spooky. Oh, he is so spooky. But he was brilliant in that. I loved it. Great episode. When you think how long ago Cracker is now. But Cracker was brilliant. I never saw the first series of Cracker. But at the time, we were going to the football, weren't we? And Joe was always saying, oh, Cracker's amazing, you need to see it. And I don't think I saw it until either the second or third series. And then it was like, where can I get hold of the others? This is amazing. 1993. I mean, honestly, I would have said that was like 10 years ago. That's unbelievable. 27 years ago, but it was one heck of a series. I didn't realise, actually, there was that many episodes. 25 episodes, apparently. But that was absolutely brilliant. Everybody in that was brilliant. I remember when they killed off one of the coppers. And he was like, you would have thought, you know, you'd have known this guy from other things that he'd been in, and you would have thought, oh, they won't kill him off, and the next minute he's dead. They did not stand back, did they, from killing off the main characters. That episode, the little series, Robert Carlyle. That one was by far the best. It was all based around the Hillsborough thing. Absolutely stunning. That was what led to the Hillsborough series itself, where they did the special, the two-hour special, because the families got in touch and said, you know, you've used the Hillsborough thing as like the background for something that's fiction. You know, why don't you take more notice and do something about that? And he did, and he went and he met them, Jimmy McGovern, and wrote the Hillsborough thing, which was just so moving. It was amazing. Do you know, one of the two episodes in 1993 of Cracker were directed by Rory Kefflin Jones's brother, Simon. I knew he worked as a director, but never seen anything he's actually directed. But there you go, he's directed two episodes of Cracker. But I think Jimmy McGovern wrote them all. Yes, he did. He did. Absolutely brilliant series. And you look at the list of stars that's in it, and it's amazing. It goes on for pages. And most of them you would know. Even sort of down the bottom of the list, where it's like a local PC, turns out he had a great career after that series. Amazing. Good grief, how many are there? I know there was 25 episodes, but even so, there was one I remember. I wish I could remember his name. And he went on to... And there's an example. She was in Strictly a couple of series ago. She played a receptionist in one episode for 2 seconds. Sunetra Sarkar. And she went on to star in Casualty. So literally every one of them. Doesn't say how many. And I can't sit here and count them. There's too many. But trust me, it was brilliant. I've never seen Downton. This won't surprise you, will it, Neil? But I do remember Jim Carter. Great actor in that. Oh, Kim. Because we're having all the riots about the police, they may be pulling all the cop shows off the air. We don't know yet. It's just so sad, isn't it?
Christopher Eccleston got knifed in Cracker, didn't he?
He did.
Got killed off.
He did. That was a dying man's declaration, don't you remember?
Yeah.
I was explaining the law of hearsay evidence to Mike based on this episode of Cracker. That was why he said it's a dying man's statement. And they were saying, we'll get your help. And he's saying, no, it's a dying man's statement. Because if he hadn't have said, for a statement to be admitted into evidence, you can't have a hearsay statement. I'm guessing you know that. Because in every drama you see, someone will stand up and say, I object, my lord, hearsay. And the rule is actually the rule against hearsay. So if evidence is hearsay, it's out. You can't use it. Well, obviously, he knew he was dying and he wanted to make a statement to say who had killed him. And he needed that to get into evidence because there was no witnesses. For a statement to get into evidence that on the face of it, yeah, it's hearsay. You heard somebody say it and you're saying that they said it. You have to have a settled and hopeless expectation of death, which is a lovely phrase, isn't it? And that was why he was saying it's a dying man's statement, meaning I have a settled and hopeless expectation of death. So he was trying to shut them up when they were saying, no, we'll save you. But it got in. It got in because he said it's a dying man's statement. So if you are ever knifed, you now know you need to say, I have a settled and hopeless expectation of death. Fred did it. And that's what you need to say. And then that will get into evidence, believe it or not. Was Ricky Tomlinson in it? Gosh, I don't remember
him
now.
Yeah, he was.
Was he in it? Was he a copper? Let me have a look. He's not. Oh, there he is. Oh, he must have been a copper. He's in it for 15 episodes. Good grief, I'd totally forgotten him. Totally forgotten him. He must have taken over from the other guy who was actually, wasn't he in Coronation Street? Ian Mercer.
Yeah.
He played DC Giggs.
Did he?
Yeah, it was called Giggsy. Yeah, that was good. That was absolutely brilliant.
My dad worked with him.
Did he? Oh, in what?
In
Corrie?
Mercer. I think it was at Oldham Coliseum.
Looking at this list, your dad probably worked with quite a few of them. Because most of them are from the north. I'm looking at this list and, you know, you just remember people like Susan Lynch. Her brother played George Best. You remember when they filmed that George Best bit at Old Trafford?
Yeah.
And he's the spit image of Eric Cantona, never mind George Best. Do you remember?
Is, yeah.
He is now. He's got this beard. He's the spit image.
Ian Mercer was in a play, a screenplay, in 1982 that was called Oi for England, which was basically about punks and those sort of people. And that's, it wasn't long after my dad was working with him in the theatre. But Neil Pearson was in it as well.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't he, not Thin Blue Line.
Yes, no, he was, he's in the Thin Blue Line.
Blue Line.
He was, and he was in Drop the Dead Donkey. Wasn't he Damien, not Damien. He was the journo, and I think Tompkinson was his cameraman. I love Drop the Dead Donkey. That was fabulous. And Robert Carlyle was in Stargate Universe. Now, see, again, he's a fantastic actor. A really good actor. You're believable in anything you put him in. Whereas sometimes, you know, I start watching something and somebody comes on the screen and you're like, oh, well, they're clearly the murderer. It's so obvious by the casting. One was D'Ellen Pascoe. D'Ellen Pascoe, I swear you could work out who was who in the first 10 minutes based on, are they a well-known name? There was one episode and it was a classic. I knew this episode was coming up because one of the actors in it was George Irving, who's my favourite actor. And once he got the role in it, I thought, well, you know, he's going to have a big part in this or he wouldn't bother. Well, the grand day came and the first episode came on and you see this person that you can't see. You know, he's got like a cap on and a big hoodie pulled over himself. And he goes up to the door and this actor, George Irving, opens the door. And the next you see, George Irving's character's dead. And I'm like, what, within the first 5 seconds? Are you kidding me? So because you'd not seen this person that murdered him, I said, oh, it's going to be the twin saga here. There'll be two of him. Turned out, guess what? It was his twin that did it. I said, I hope he got paid twice. What happens if somebody makes a written statement and then subsequently dies before the court case? Oh, dodgy ground there, Anthony. Very dodgy. It wouldn't be hearsay per se, but it would be a statement made other than in the present proceedings, introduced into the present proceedings to prove it's true, which is the definition of hearsay. So technically speaking, it would be out on the basis that the defence would not be able to cross-examine the person who made the statement. So unless it falls within one of the exceptions, so if it was written, when you say makes a written statement, if it was a person, say, who'd been stabbed and they're in hospital and they can't say anything, stabbed in the throat. Oh, this is like a law exam. You would literally in a law exam get A and B were out at the pub and C and D walked in. This is how it goes. So if you've got this person who cannot speak, but they can take a pen and they can write it down and sign it, as long as they add to that, I have a settled and hopeless expectation of death, then it would be in. But if it doesn't have that, so the same as any other hearsay evidence, that it doesn't fall into one of the exceptions, then unfortunately it's out. So if you were the policeman in that circumstance, or a police officer in that circumstance, and they are either saying something to you and you are making notes of it and getting them to sign it, you would have to add to it, you know, I am dying or I have a settled and hopeless expectation of death. And as long as that's on it and they sign it, then it would be in. So it's a bit odd that it's not actually the evidence. It's the surrounding stuff to the evidence that makes it admissible or not. I mean, to give you an example of something else that's hearsay, which is totally ludicrous, a lion intoximeter. This was a case that came to court on the basis that the evidence from a machine was hearsay. And it was found that it was. And a lion intoximeter is a breathalyzer. So they brought these breathalyzers in and they breathalyze this person and they go to court and he challenges the evidence that it's hearsay. Eventually, they manage to work a way round that it's not. But on the face of it, it actually is. So hearsay is a nightmare to try and work your way through. But if it wasn't given on the basis that they had a settled and hopeless expectation of death, you don't stand much chance of getting that in unless the other side can agree, which obviously you wouldn't be having a row in court if they could agree. So probably not, unless it falls in one of the exceptions. X-Men. Was there a movie called X-Men around 2000?
I think there was.
Was Will Smith
Will
in
Smith.
It?
Will Smith.
And, oh, the guy from The Fugitive, whose name escapes me.
X-Men, no.
No,
Jennifer Lawrence, James McAvoy.
Oh, no. Who am I thinking
hang on, 2000. Yeah, there's another one here. Patrick Stewart, Hugh Jackman, Ian McKellen.
No. No, that's not the movie I'm thinking of. Men in Black. That's the one I'm thinking of. It was that Men in Black? Was that two guys with Will Smith?
I think it was.
Oh. Right, so they tended not to be streamed on the services you watch, but you've watched quite a few with the kids. The Full Monty. I love The Full Monty. I did see The Full Monty.
I saw The Full Monty.
He was fantastic. They all were. That was one of those films that was just totally perfectly cast, wasn't it? Everybody was brilliant. The guy I loved in it, I first saw in First Among Equals, I think it was, where a Jeffrey Archer thing. The Jeffrey Archer book that they'd converted into a TV drama. And they had like four guys in it, four politicians. And as per usual, you've got like your two Tories and your two Labour. I think it was First Among Equals. Let's have a look. Good grief, was that 1986? Oh, no. I'm getting so old. Yeah, there was, that's it. All three of, four of them. All four of them. I remembered because they all took brilliant parts off. One was Tom Wilkinson, who played the guy who pretended to keep going to work in The Full Monty. And I think his wife in it. She was married to somebody else in it. Good grief. I think they were together. Diana Hardcastle. But James Faulkner was in it, and David Robb was in it, and Jeremy Child. They were all absolutely fantastic. But I saw Tom Wilkinson in that, and I thought, oh, this guy's brilliant. And then off he went to Hollywood. I'm pretty sure he was married to Diana Hardcastle. But in this series, they were married to somebody else. He was in one that I did see with George Clooney as well, but I've totally forgotten what that was. Oh, was it Michael Clayton? I think it was Michael Clayton. Let's have a look. Does it say here? How old is he now? Yes, they're still married. Good grief. Yeah, Diana Hardcastle was in a comedy with a red-haired guy who then gave up acting and went and created like a production studio. Absolutely raked it in with his production studio. It was one of these yuppie comedies from the late 80s. But she was fantastic in that as well. But Tom Wilkinson, love him. So Full Monty, absolutely perfect. Supergirl. Do we get Supergirl here? I've not seen Supergirl. Let me tell you what we've got here that I did look at as a like, yeah, might look at that, might not. Let's have a look. Why is my iPad always flat when I come to it? You've got less than 5% battery. I know. All right, let's go and have a look at what I put in here. There's quite a few American things on here, but I've never heard of them. So I don't particularly take that much notice. Oh, one that's on at the moment is called 911 Lone Star with Rob Lowe. I think I saw an episode of that. But other than that, it's pretty quiet time for us over here at the moment. Oh, and there's another one. I saw one of that, FBI. I don't find that long enough. Oh, there was one that I did watch an entire series of. You'd be so proud. Condor. Because I loved the film 3 Days of the Condor. Good grief, found another film I've seen. I need to watch all the ones that you recommend. And this one, though, 911 thing was, I don't know if there had been another series, but basically there's a disaster in Texas and they lose half their fire department. So they bring Rob Lowe in and his son from New York. He's a veteran of 911. They bring him in to like rebuild the whole thing. And what sits in it as well, because I remember thinking, I know her face. I know her face and I couldn't remember where I'd seen her. I don't think I've actually seen her in any film, but I knew the face and it turned out to be Liv Tyler. It's amazing, isn't it, how many people you think of as movie stars are now doing TV shows. Oh, do you know who else is a fabulous actor? That guy that was in Temple. I mentioned Temple. The two of them in Temple and they were both fantastic. Daniel Mays. He is absolutely fantastic. And Temple was one that he was in. And another one that Robert Carlyle was in. We talked about it when it first came out. It's a Sky original series. There's only six episodes of it. And I watched it in February, which probably just as well. And I, you know, when you watch something, you think, yeah, that's a bit outrageous. That would never happen. And then we go into lockdown. That, because he had to send the country into lockdown. It was a national crisis with the electricity and he had to basically put at least half the country into lockdown, which made the series, obviously, a couple of weeks later, you're like, wow, that I thought that was ridiculous. But what I'm seeing now is more ridiculous. They've already commissioned another series of that. And it was called Cobra. It's called Cobra after the Cabinet Office briefing room. So I can't wait for the next series of that. In fact, I could actually watch that series again now. It was that good. Robert Carlyle played the PM. He was absolutely brilliant. So that one's on my list. And Temple, there it is. Who's the other guy? Mark Strong, who I think is the spit image of a guy, Stanley Tucci. I think they look like twins. Temple was brilliant. It started off a bit unrealistic. And I guess it is a bit unrealistic, but it's one of those things. It is actually worth watching. He creates an illicit clinic. It's there are funny bits in it, but like really black humour. But Temple is fantastic. I'm sure I mentioned it and somebody watched it on here. I saw a couple of episodes of Magnum, but I've not seen any of the new series. Haven't they done a new one? Oh, and I've just discovered there the second series of What's It started here. The Rookie. Oh, jolly good. Something to keep me occupied in the middle of the night. Who saw Chernobyl?
I didn't.
That was a really slow burn for me. I put it on and I put the first 10 minutes on. I thought, oh, good grief, it's hideous. And I turned it off. And then it was winning all kinds of awards. And I thought, this must just be me. I thought, stick it on and stick out the first episode, no matter how bad it is. And it really warmed up after the first 10 minutes. And it was such an amazing series. I had to watch it all. I really did.
Shall I go and cook dinner?
Why not? Because we've not eaten all day, have we?
No.
One crisis after another. And that was before we got going with the radio and that decided it had had other ideas. Lucky us. So you need to have a think about films and dramas that I wouldn't have seen, but particularly films, because I'm a laughing stock on by request. Every film they came up with, not seen it. And do you know what's so annoying me? I know I have seen that conspiracy film and I can't remember what it was called, but it wasn't the one that you mentioned. Oh, I'm going to need to remember what that was. Let's try that guy who was in The Pelican Brief. Who's seen The Pelican Brief? I read that first as a book and I absolutely loved it. It's the epitome of that genre. Right, what's his name? Denzel Washington, that's the geezer. Right, now, was he in another film that I have seen that's kind of conspiracy theory-ish? It could be. But it was going back a bit. The Magnificent Seven, The Equalizer. Did they remake everything and I've managed to miss all of it? The Taking of Pelham 123, that was another one. That was an original film. No, not that one. Was it Trent? See, I recognise some of these names. Oh, there's one I've seen, crying out loud. The Bone Collector, 1999. That was fabulous. But that's not the... There it is. I think it could be this one. Was it Courage Under Fire? It was Meg Ryan in that. I've seen that one. Oh, that was one of my mum's favourites. Lou Diamond Phillips. She absolutely loves Lou Diamond Phillips. One of her favourites. To the point I followed him on Twitter so I could keep her up to date with what he was doing. And you know, he's brilliant, brilliant on Twitter. He really is. He shares such a lot and tells you like, oh, this is coming up and I've decided I'm going to do that. Really nice guy. Really, really nice guy. Always encourages people when they want a photo with him to tweet it, and then he'll retweet it. And he does day after day after day. He's amazing on Twitter. Have I seen To Kill a Mockingbird? Oh, Kim, that's sort of yes and sort of no. I have seen the play. It was one of the last plays we got to see at the Octagon before they shut it down. They closed the Octagon to rebuild the whole thing, and it's actually rebuilt now and ready to go. And now they're sat there with it totally empty because of the COVID thing. But it was one of the last plays they put on, and it was fantastic. Loved it. To the point, it's Rachel's favourite book. So she said it's coming to the Lowry, which is a bigger theatre closer by. She said, do you want to come? So, yep, we'll come. And about a month later, they got told that they didn't have the rights to put this on. And I said, you know, the American owners of the copyright wouldn't let them put it on. And I said, well, why not? You know, Bolton did not that long ago, but Rach had missed the one in Bolton. So I've seen the play version of it, but I've never seen the film. And the play was fantastic. They did such a good job with the play. The little girl they had playing Scout was amazing. Totally amazing. It's in the round at Bolton. And you were like part of the jury and part of like watching it. And the houses like Boo Radley's were basically like behind the audience. So you were part of the scenery and the set, because the action was taking place around you. So I did think, once I'd watched that, I should probably watch the film. I've read the book and I've seen the play, but I've never watched the film. So I need to watch that. Right, okay, I'm gonna copy that, Kim, and I'm gonna put it into my films to be watched bit and see what I can find on Prime. Because I see a lot of stuff on Prime and think, I don't know if that's any good or not. And you know me, I have so little time because I'm doing other stuff. So that's in my films to watch list. There you go. Denzel Washington was in one thing, and I think I first noticed him in Pelican Brief, because I'd read that book and I could read it and read it and read it. And when they said they were doing a film and Julia Roberts was in it, I was like, that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect. I read an interview with him. I think it was around the time that he was doing the Bone Collector. And it was something to do with whether or not he would kiss his co-star. So let's find, be after that, wouldn't it? Bone Collector. There we go. 1999. And obviously his co-star was Angelina Jolie. And it was something to do with he didn't want to kiss his co-star because she was white. And I thought, I'm not seeing this, because if a white actor didn't want to kiss a black actor, that would be bad news, wouldn't it? So I'm sure I read that somewhere and I thought that was really, really strange. But I loved the film. The film was fantastic. Again, I thought they were all brilliant in it. You know, some films are absolute classics and you could watch them again and again. And these others that I can barely make it through once. I can't believe The Bone Collector only gets 6.7. on Internet Movie Database, because to me that was a brilliant, brilliant film. To the point I watched the series. There was a series, I think it wasn't called Bone Collector, I think it was called Lincoln Rhymes, and then subtitle Bone Collector. Who on earth was in that? Because he was brilliant. And it finished on such a cliffhanger. Lincoln Rhymes Hunt for the Bone Collector. It was a series and it was based on the book, but that was kind of woven through the series. There were other bits that were added to it. So even if you've seen The Bone Collector, it's worth watching the series. I thought it was fantastic. I think there was only 10 episodes. But absolutely brilliant. And the guy was Russell Hornsby. I thought he was brilliant because I thought after you've seen The Bone Collector, you're not really going to settle with anybody else being Lincoln Rhimes. But he was brilliant. And the girl was Arielle Kebble. Not seen her in anything. But again, I thought she was absolutely fantastic in it. Is that the same woman? Good grief. She must have been done up for that. Let's have a look. No, I wouldn't have seen anything else that she was in, like Vampire Diaries. No. Midnight Texas. No. What else was she in? Beverly Hills 90210. No. I've not seen any of these things. Oh, how embarrassing. It goes back to 2003. Oh, the Gilmore Girls. Not seen that either, but I have heard wonderful things about it. So if that ever comes on, I might watch a few of those. Nope, don't recognise her from anything else. But it's a good series. I can highly recommend that one. And I'll add Conspiracy Theory as well to that list. I'm wondering about... I wouldn't have thought something like Calamity Jane that I would go for. Well, you've recommended it, so I'm going to go and have a look at it. Oh, and to start with Killer Mockingbird. Yes, I'll add that one. There was somebody that I was on a course and she was saying how much she loved the Gilmore Girls. And I thought, it's probably been on in the UK, but if it was, I've got no recollection of it at all. The thing that was possibly nearest to that, and again, that wasn't me, it was my mother. She loved Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. That was a tale and a half with the box set of that. Nightmare City. But I did put all of the episodes and she sat there and she watched all of those episodes about 6 months before she died. And she said, you know, there's so many episodes. I think it was like 280 episodes. And she said, I'm going to watch these now. She said, you never know. I don't want to miss the end. And she did. And she finished them. Bless her. You won't really go for Calamity Jane, but you'll make Kath happy. Okay, we'll see what we can do with Calamity Jane. Calamity Jane strikes me, I've never seen it, but it strikes me as like maybe a feminist film. So maybe I will like it, you never know. Oh, tell me she doesn't end up like slaved somewhere. That would never do me. That would never do me. Oh, how's he doing? He's doing quite well with the food. So I will say goodnight now, and then we will have the post-mortem as to what we're going to do to get this thing online when they are having emergency maintenance. Not good. Not good. Don't do that to me at the point I'm going live. Which made me even later because you guys thought I was an hour late to start with. No, we are out of sync for a week. It's not good. I know. I don't know why we couldn't change ours next week, which is when you're changing yours, because it has to be the last Sunday in October. And next Sunday is the first Sunday in November. And you've obviously left yours alone and we haven't left ours alone. But hey, it's not the 3 weeks that we were out in March. That was even worse. I can smell dinner. Okay then. So for the moment, it's good night from me. I will say good night from Mike and we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.